Jesus Christ, whose only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Right.
Dear Lord, we come to you this morning, not as just members of Rockwood United Methodist Church or Harriman United Methodist Church, but as believers, as Christians. And we know if we lift our prayers up to you, even without that, you know our concerns, you know our worries, you know our joys. But we lift those, our prayers and our joys and concerns up to you this morning as we look forward to know that you will put us on the right path. You will give us the answer to all of our needs, all of our wants. You'll help lift up our joys and our triumphs. We would ask that you look over and guide us as we go into this next week, that we would do as you would have us to do, that you would help us to realize the many blessings that you give us each and every day. Sometimes those that are recognized and some that are unrecognized. We'd ask that you lead us, you guide us, and protect us in every aspect of our life. We ask that you join us together now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I think our next hymn is, Terry and I were trying to work together, page 467, but it'll be on the screen, Trust and Obey.
Trust and obey. Thank you.
I did. Okay. Thank you, Terry. I'll ask you, as you're able, to please stand for the reading of our scripture this morning. It comes from Matthew 5:41. I don't know if it's going to be on the screen or not, but and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Matthew 5:41. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. I always love coming back to Rockwood United Methodist Church to bring the message. I've got a call blocker. It's a screens on my calls. And I was at football practice the day Sam called. I think it was Thursday. It might have been Wednesday night, Thursday night. We were at practice, and for some reason, I answered it. It was blocking the call, but I answered it, and it was Sam, and he told me he had plans this Sunday afternoon, 1:05, and I said, I would love to come back to Rockwood United Methodist Church. Four things that I really like that always come to mind. It's such a beautiful, beautiful place to worship God and give Him praise. That's the number one reason. Two, I have so many people here that I consider friends. Three, the music that Clayton brought today, I mean, with the organ and the piano and the choir. And the fourth, and I'm telling you what, I love the little box to stand on here. We don't have that at my church, and I love it. It is a it's a view I don't get very often. I'll just tell you that. But I am. I'm tickled to death to be here this morning, and I'm glad to see Coach Kay and Christy here, because I was going to claim title to the message today, but I can't. I actually stole it. I heard it from Tony Clower. He's our county athletic director, about 3 years ago at our baccalaureate service. And I was looking at the watch thinking, okay, we've got to get finished, da-da-da. And Tony got up to speak, and I went, oh my goodness, that message that Tony brought that I want to bring a portion of you to this morning really made an impact on my life. So I've got to give credit to Tony Clower because when he stood up and he read the scripture that I just read a second ago, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And when he said twain, and I've got two or three college degrees, I thought, what in the world does that mean? I know Mark Twain, but go with him, Twain. And so I really was on the edge of my seat as Tony began to speak. And the way it leads off, and I'll come back to that word Twain here in a second. If I were to ask everybody in here this morning how you would define success, we would probably all have different answers. Coach K, it might be the clean locker room. It might be a good practice day. I follow him on Twitter. I don't know. Everybody could be playing a song without missing a note. We all have different definitions of success. And as we get older and we start to think about where we are in life, I think a lot of times our definition of success or our thoughts, maybe even our prayers of success, start to focus more on our finances as we prepare for retirement. And so there's all kind of ways to define it. And I want to bring you a story that Tony told of a man, and I'm 53 years old. I'm a long way from being able to retire financially. But Tony told the story of a 38-year-old man who was able to retire and retire very financially successful at the age of 38, which I've long passed. And he goes on to tell the story. The guy came from a really small town, but he was such an influential figure because of everything he brought to that town, to the churches, civic groups. He was a motivational speaker. He was well-liked by everybody in the town and the surrounding area. And when he made the announcement that he was going to retire and be moving, people became really concerned, and they said, we need to throw a dinner in honor just so he knows how much we have appreciated him. So they all invited him to this dinner, and they said, we want you to come. We want to send you off. I know you're just 38 years old. We know you're 38 years old, but we want to send you off in a way just to give a show of thanks. The only thing we ask, you've been so successful at this banquet in your honor, will you tell us what your secret to success was? And he thought for a second. He said, yes, I'd love, I wish you wouldn't throw a banquet in my honor, but yes, I'll be glad to share my success story or how I achieved success. Well, as you can imagine, the whole town was excited. If they could steal one or two ideas, and then maybe help their life become successful, maybe even financially successful like he did. So as the days got closer, the suspense and the expectations grew higher, and they had a banquet to beat all. It was potluck. You know, they had green beans, fried okra, I'm sure, just good pot roast, whatever, and good rolls. And so at the end of the banquet, the man of the hour gets up, and everybody was sitting on the edge of the seat, and they were ready to hear his definition of success. And he said, before I tell you what it really was, let me tell you how I got there. He said, when I was in elementary and middle school and high school, he said, they always had the minimum requirements for the classes we had to take. But what I did was always took the hardest classes I could. I always did two or three more math problems, which would make Terry happy. I always did two or three more math problems so that I might do better on my math test. And he graduated from high school, and he goes on to college, and he enrolled in his first college class. And, you know, most professors in college will say, if you want to get an A in my class, you do this. If you want to get a B in my class, do this. If you want to be average, you do this, an A, B, or C. And most of this guy's friends did everything it took to get a C. They wanted to be average. But every college class he took, he did the requirements to get an A. He graduated in 4 years at the top of his business class. Got his first job. The hours were from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. He was required to make 50 calls a day to prospective clients. Well, he would show up at 8, and he would stay till 6. He would make 60 calls a day. And he did this, and he rose through the ranks of this company till he finally became president. He turned his company into a success like they'd never seen before. He decided to resign from that position and start his own company. As he did that, he would start a company, he would make it successful, he would sell it and make more money. He would start another company. And finally, when he achieved the ripe old age of 38 years old, he was financially set for the rest of his life and very well loved by everybody in the community. And so when he gets up and he tells his story, he said the three words were, and then some. And somebody in the back of the room said, well, that's your secret to success? And he said, yes, it's and then some. And everybody was let down. And they thought, goodness gracious, this can't be how this guy got his financial success. And he said, well, let me tell you where I got that from. I got those words and then some from the greatest preacher in the world. And this preacher preached this at the greatest sermon in the world. It came from the words of Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount. And as Jesus is... just to review just a little bit, as Jesus spoke that day, these were the words that he uttered on the Sermon on the Mount. And whoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Matthew 5:41. And you may be like, you know, I'm sure the people that were listening to Jesus that day, when he said twain, maybe they understood any more than I did. I don't know. But this is your secret to success right here, both as a person sitting in the church, as a Christian, and everything you do. Whoever will compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Now, we all know a mile is 5,280 feet. And Jesus is telling everybody, when somebody makes you go a mile, go with him. Another word for twain is two. So Jesus basically was saying, when somebody tells you to go a mile, you go 2 miles. You go and then some. Well, you've got to have a little history lesson about what was going on in the time of Jesus. And I told Clayton and Terry, I'm going to get up and move around just a little bit. During this time, of course, Rome ruled the modern world. And Romans hated the Christians. They hated the Jews. They hated them so bad that the emperor at that time had a rule. He had a law. And he told the Roman soldiers, if you've had a long day and just, you know, you've got your pack on, you've got your sword, and you just don't want to carry it anymore, you just pick somebody out, and by law, they are required to carry your gear for 1 mile. Now, we have miles today, statute mile, from Rome. Many of our roads, our architecture came from Roman architecture. So literally, 1 mile during this time was 5,280 feet. Put yourself in the place of a Christian or a Jewish person at this time. They could be working in the garden. They could be doing something with their family. They have their schedule like everybody else. But all that Roman soldier would have to do is come up, point to that person and said, hey, you, drop their pack on the ground and say, whatever you're doing, you have to stop, pick my pack up, and carry it for 1 mile. So that's what Jesus was saying. whoever compels thee to go a mile. So that person, by law, would pick the pack up. Typically, a Roman pack weighed anywhere between 75 and 100 pounds. Didn't matter. Those Roman soldiers didn't care if it was male, female, child, if they were strong or weak or sick, they had to. And the penalty, if they didn't, was terrible. So imagine yourself in this situation. You go home after church today. If we had a law like that today, how would you respond if somebody came up to you and you were forced by law to have to carry somebody else's stuff for 1 mile, no matter what you... Now, it would take me a while to walk 1 mile. I know that right now. But how would you handle that situation? And I think this gets to the core of what Jesus was talking about at the Sermon on the Mount. So you pick that backpack up, and probably if I hadn't come to Rockwood United Methodist and heard the beautiful singing, I would not be in a good mood, probably. But, you know, on a typical day, I think myself, I don't know how you all would be, would pick that pack up, and you could walk 5,280 feet. You could go 1 mile. It wasn't required that you say anything to that Roman soldier. You just had to carry his pack. So you could walk that 1 mile and never say a word. You could follow the rule of the Roman emperor and not pay attention to what God's blessed us with, the trees or the birds. You could spend that whole mile grumbling and mumbling. Oh, man, I hate this. What a terrible day. I had a great day going. I was with my family, and then this soldier came along, and you know, you're required by law, and then you get to that 5,280th step. Boom, throw that pack down. There, I'm done. I did what was required of me. And then you have to turn around and go back that whole mile back to where your family, where you started. So think how that would interrupt your schedule. That would set your day off probably in a bad way. And Jesus, at the Sermon on the Mount, is telling people, he said, whoever compels thee, when somebody tells you to go a mile, Jesus says, you go with him twain. You go with him too. You do, and then some. You go 10,560 feet. So here's what Jesus meant by that sermon. So you've walked that mile, and then you decide you're going to do what Jesus says. You're going to go 10,560 feet. You're going to go, and then some. Well, imagine what the Roman soldier would think. You know, you'd say, hey, I tell you what, let me walk. Where are you going? You're still going in this direction? Let me walk with you. Let me tell you, do you have a family? What's your family like? You know, have you heard of Jesus? Man, this is beautiful country out here. I'm just glad I get to spend some time with you. Who knows? You know, and then you get to that second mile, and then you put your pack down. That's what Jesus was telling his people to do at that time. Don't just go with what's required. Do and then some. Go that second mile. Go 10,560 feet. What kind of attitude would you have if you were in that situation? Like I told you when I started, I would probably have a terrible attitude. Terrible, especially if I was doing something I considered important. But think about what can be shared with other people when you go and then some. When whatever you're doing, whether it's for joy, for your job, for the church, when you do and then some, just imagine the impact we as Christians or as believers can have. How do you choose to use that second mile? Do you even go the second mile? I don't know. Jesus tells us, whoever compels thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So I started looking. I thought, what is the difference in a person who's a 1 miler and a 2 miler? Am I a 1 miler? Am I a 2 miler? Do I know people? And I don't know if you ever heard of a guy named Roger Staubach. Roger Staubach was my hero growing up. He was an all-pro quarterback, played in Super Bowls for the Dallas Cowboys. Roger Staubach goes all over the world today, and he's a believer. And he likes to tell people there are no traffic jams on the second mile. Maybe you've seen that sticker or that sign somewhere. There are no traffic jams on the second mile. What that means to me, there's not a whole lot of 2 milers in our world today. There's not a whole lot of people there to cause traffic jams. And when you think about that, I'm still struggling. I'm a 1 miler or a 2 miler. And I thought, you know, people are always watching us as members of Rockwood United Methodist Church, as Christians. People watch us, not just from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock on Sunday or Wednesday night, or we sit in the choir. At our church, we have our stickers that we put on the back of a car. It says Harriman United Methodist Church. Well, I can tell you, I've torn through on my way to Midway or on the way back, and probably not driven by the speed limit, or I've cut somebody off. You know, people look at that sticker and they say, well, he's not a very good Christian. If you know, people like that from Harem United Methodist Church. You know, people always look, whether we're in Walmart, we're in Food City, they know how we live our life. Are we truly a second miler? We're always under the microscope because we have set ourselves as believers. And Jesus tells us we need to go the second mile. And you can only be a second miler. You can only go that second 5,280 feet if you're truly obedient in that first mile. And Jesus told us, when you have the blood of the covenant written on your heart, when you truly know you have life eternal in heaven to look forward to, being or living your life as a Christian is not going to be easy. That first mile is going to be hard, and that second mile is going to be hard, but that is the price you pay for following me. So second mile, it's only going to be successful if you're truly obedient in the first mile. But you know, it's when you go on that second mile, when you try and help somebody out, when you try and go and then some, when you take that second mile, when you do that, not only do you brighten your road, but you also help lighten the load of somebody else. So think about that. We all have to go 1 mile. We all have things that are required to do, whether it's in our family life, our personal life, our business, whatever it is. But when you go that second load, that second mile, you brighten the road and help lighten that load. And just think about it. I know y'all are hopefully thinking right now, I know somebody who is a second miler. I know somebody who does and then some. And I'll bet you've got good thoughts of that person or those people that you have in your mind. 10,560 feet. Jesus says, whoever tells you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. I always think back when I think about this message here. When Jesus was on the cross, when he was hanging on the cross and he was close to death, the Roman soldier that looked up at him and said, truly, that was the Son of God. I wondered, was that Roman soldier maybe somebody who had forced a Christian, a Jewish person, somebody to walk that mile, and maybe somebody shared with that particular Roman soldier the story of Jesus and why they loved Jesus. Maybe that had an impact on that Roman soldier's life, because as Jesus was on that cross, breathing his last breath, that Roman soldier looked up and said, truly, that was the Son of God. And you know, Jesus didn't just talk the talk. Jesus walked that talk. Jesus was our first second miler. He's the one that set those expectations from the Sermon on the Mount to the life that he lived when he walked this face of the earth. He stepped out of heaven and he walked a mile that was motivated by the law of God. Jesus took that assignment willingly from his Father. It was the second mile that Jesus walked, though, that was motivated by his love that he had for each and every one of us today, each and every one of us people that are going to be born in the future. That's the love Jesus had. That's why Jesus went that second mile. God had told us that he was going to be with us. All we have to do is follow him on that second mile. But how many times have we decided to go our own way? We don't follow God's plan. Jesus doesn't love us any less. Jesus forgives our sins. He wants us to be with him. We fall short of the glory of God every single day as sinners. Every single day we fall short of the glory of God. But it's the love for Jesus, his willingness to walk that second mile, Jesus's, and then some, that took him to the cross. Jesus went to the cross, not where he took the burden of a backpack of a Roman soldier. He could have done that easily. Jesus had the perfect life. He didn't have to do what he did. He did it out of love for us. And then some, that second mile. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't take the burden of a backpack. Jesus took the burden of all the sins in the world so that we could have life eternal with him in heaven. Jesus told us also, spread the good news. Be a disciple. Tell everybody about the love I have. Go forth and make disciples of all men. Hopefully, as you think about this and you think about people who have walked that second mile, I know a lot of times I've heard messages, you don't really remember it, but it's just 3 words, and then some. So hopefully what I have for you today, as you leave, and I'll be in the back of the church, I made these bookmarks here. On one side, it's got those 3 words, and then some. And then on the flip side, it's got the actual Matthew 5:41. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So keep that in your Bible. I try and keep it everywhere. I've got one in my office at school. Just as a reminder, go that second mile. Brighten somebody else's road and help lighten that load, because that's what Jesus said to do. And that can be very easy to do when you approach it with a positive Christian attitude and the love that we all have for Jesus. So hopefully, if you leave here today, we'll all look for ways to go the second mile and then some, because most assuredly, it's going to brighten your road and lighten somebody else's load. So whoever compels you to go a mile, go with him twain and then some. Amen. As you leave here today, you don't leave the church. It's where you go this afternoon and the rest of the week. That's where the church is. You take Rockwood United Methodist Church with you wherever you go this week. And as you do that, walk that second mile. Tell people what Jesus has done for you, what Jesus is doing for you, and what Jesus will do for everybody. Amen.